The debate over nuclear power is heating up again, as three utilities in the United States have filed for early site permit applications from the Nuclear Regulatory Agency. These permits would be for the first nuclear reactors to be built in the country since the partial meltdown at Three Mile Island in 1979. Richmond-based Dominion Power runs the North Anna Power Station in Louisa County, about 40 miles outside the capital. The site currently has two reactors, but Dominion wants to clear the way to add two more. Company officials say they have no plans currently to build them.
Sir, can you tell me why you're here tonight?
I'm here because I'd like a cleaner environment for my grandchildren.
Thank you, me too.
On February 17, 2005, the NRC held a public hearing at Louisa County Middle School to hear from opponents and supporters of the reactors, but for the most part, nuclear power itself was up for discussion. NRC spokesman Roger Hanna explains how the public hearing works.
Basically, this is a public meeting to solicit input from the public, from groups, concerned citizens, people who may want to express their opinion about the draft environmental impact statement for the early site permit application that was filed by Dominion. We've issued that draft environmental impact statement, and the bottom line is that in reviewing the environmental information, our staff and the contractors that prepared the EIS found that there is really no adverse impact to constructing new reactors. Again, this is an early site permit. Dominion hasn't made a definite decision one way or another whether they're actually going to build new nuclear reactors at this site, but it gives them the option of completing at least some of the environmental work and some of the environmental approvals up front before they do make that decision.
I walked up to Louisa Middle School just after sunset, so when I saw about 100 people standing outside the school, I assumed their signs read what you'd expect to see at a rally before a public hearing. No new nukes and so on. Instead, everyone assembled at the school's entrance at 6:15, when the television cameras were live, seemed to be supporting nuclear power. Kurt Flegg was one of the people holding up a sign.
I'm out here to advocate nuclear power. My sign says, Lake Anna, brought to you by nuclear power.
Has there been any sort of interchange? Because it seems that the forces on your side are a bit more in evidence tonight here. Has there been able to be any sort of interchange or dialogue at all, you think?
Oh, there's been some good nature talking back and forth, you know. I guess more, you would say, feeling out the, you know, the lines of communication than anything else.
In the crowd of pro-nuclear forces were a few people protesting against nuclear power and competing for the attention of journalists, including this man.
My name's Stratton Salidas, and I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia. I think nuclear power is definitely the wrong direction for us to go, largely because of the waste issues and the potential for a meltdown, whether accidental or intentional, in terms of any kind of terrorist activity.
As I filed into the school, the lobby was packed with workers from Dominion Power, some of their bosses, NRC officials, and a woman in a colorful outfit standing with a couple of kids at a booth representing a group called North American Young Generation and Nuclear.
My name is Kelly Taylor. I'm here with Young Generation Nuclear, or North American Young Generation and Nuclear.
Okay, and what is that organization for?
We are a group of young nuclear professionals that are interested in educating the public on the benefits to society from nuclear science and technologies. Some of the signs that we've brought here today say, Go Nuke, Don't Pollute, New Nuclear for a New Generation, Nuclear Power, A Sustainable Past and a Sustainable Future.
And you also had your children out here, too.
Yes, I have my four children with me.
Okay. And what are some of the benefits to your children of nuclear power as you see them?
There is a lot of energy sources out there that each have their pros and cons. The reason why I'm in favor of new nuclear is that it has no CO2 emissions. If for people who are concerned about global warming, nuclear is one of the cleanest energy sources available. The only ones that are probably cleaner than that might be wind power and hydro, but hydro obviously has limited application since you can't have it everywhere, and wind power can be very expensive to produce the wind turbines. They have to be financed over the life of the wind power, over the life of the unit, as well as in a large scale, they can't provide baseload energy, and the voltage produced is difficult to control, which makes it even more expensive if you need to do the extra equipment for voltage maintenance, for remote control and monitoring of the large wind farms.
So the debate to a large extent is about the costs and benefits of all of these different choices. And one of the oppositions to nuclear power is the waste issue. Does that affect your decision? I mean, the idea is that the waste will be there for generations to come. I'm just curious to know what your response to that would be.
The waste is there, and I'm not going to pretend that we don't have it, but if you compare, I talked about the other cleaner sources. There are other sources that are much dirtier than nuclear. If you look at the amount of waste that's produced from nuclear energy generation from one person over the course of a year, and you look at all the waste that's produced, that all the electricity that one person uses, it's about the size of a golf ball. So if you compare it by volume or by weight to any of the dirtier energy sources that might be competitive in cost, such as coal, such as natural gas when it's available, when the price isn't so high as it is now, then nuclear produces less waste per cost. And the waste that's there is kind of a misnomer, because there's a lot more energy that can be reclaimed from what's used from the spent fuel. Since we don't have reprocessing facilities, nobody wants to discuss that. But it's like filling your car up with gasoline and using one-tenth of what's in the tank and throwing the rest of it away. There's a lot more energy there that can be reclaimed in future generations. It doesn't all have to be stored forever.
One of the other issues, especially one that we'll hear a lot tonight, is the terrorism issue. What's your take on that?
You know, September 11th, 2001 was a devastating event in the lives, I think, of the entire world, and everybody sat up and took notice. But I think what the terrorists were trying to accomplish with that day was to change our way of life, make us be so afraid of what they can and will accomplish that the things that we go about on a normal daily basis become economically unviable. I know, because I work at a nuclear power station, how safe they are. I know that they are the strongest industrial facilities in the United States today, and I have no concerns whatsoever of a terrorist attack succeeding on them. Now, that's not the same as saying I have no concerns that the terrorists would try to attack it, but I know that they won't succeed. As for the issue of terrorism in general, if we change everything that we do, if we base everything that we do on fear instead of freedom, then the terrorists have already won.
After speaking with Taylor, I discovered that the anti-nuclear forces were inside the school cafeteria, listening to speakers at a rally organized by the group People Allied for Clean Energy. One of the speakers was UVA nuclear physics professor Donald Day, who disagrees with the results of the draft environmental impact statement.
The draft environmental impact statement, unfortunately, is a result of what I think is a stacked deck. I mean, in other words, the big issues about the future of nuclear power aren't being addressed by this impact statement. And I think you'll hear tonight plenty of arguments with the impact statement having to do with the vitality of the lake, the ability of them to predict water supplies and things like that. But I think the bigger issues are, you know, shaping the future of America's energy policy. And for me, I cannot endorse an energy policy that, in fact, has a vestige of radioactive waste for which there's no political or technological solution.
Representatives of national organizations traditionally opposed to nuclear power, such as Public Citizen and the Sierra Club, were also on hand to register their opinion. Jim Riccio is the nuclear policy analyst for Greenpeace.
Would this be the sort of event that you would usually go to?
This would be, especially this one, because basically it's the first time we've tried to site a nuclear power plant in the United States, basically since the 70s. The last nuclear power plant built in this country took 23 years to construct and cost nearly $8 billion. And we're here today because we can't get an opportunity to speak about things like terrorism or the radioactive waste that's on the site, or the fact that, you know, the designs are unsafe because they don't even have a design they want to build here yet. Basically, this is a charade. It's a charade to make the public think that nuclear power isn't as dead as a doornail. And, you know, in the light of the fact that, you know, we're going to have basically another generation of suicidal terrorists intent on harming this country, and also that Al-Qaeda has been targeting nuclear power plants since the 90s, I don't think making this site a more attractive target is a really good idea.
So basically the argument there, I guess what you're saying, is that they'll see that attention is being spent on this case and they'll specifically target this one over other ones? Is that what you're saying?
Not that they would target this one over other ones particularly, but basically the more reactors you have on the site, the more attractive a target I think it would be. And you're also talking about building reactors here. After 9/11, you know, the nuclear industry and the NRC thought that, you know, the containment dome was the best thing since sliced bread. And now we're talking about building reactors that lack even those containment domes because of the bad economics of the nuclear industry. Nuclear power is too dangerous, too expensive, and basically unnecessary. And there are better ways to boil water, and we should be looking at those rather than, again, spending more money on a technology that's just going to make our country more dangerous.
But the NRC seems to have signed off, at least on this, that this is a draft statement, but it seems to say that at least environmental concerns are not going to be a factor.
Well, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has never met a nuclear power plant it didn't like. It has, to my knowledge, never failed to issue a license for any reactor that's ever been constructed. So I don't have any much faith that the NRC will actually do anything to even hold this industry accountable, let alone do anything to protect the public. Our concerns stem from the fact that on 9/11 we were attacked from the air, and in their inestimable wisdom, the NRC decided to, you know, shore up their ground-based defenses. Still, 3 years after 9/11, not one thing has been done to secure nuclear power plants from an air-based assault, and many of them are wide open. A third of the reactors in the country are wide open to an airliner attack. And again, the NRC has been dragging its feet and pretending that everything is fine, and when in fact it's not.
How does Greenpeace, what's Greenpeace's role in this in terms of the process? What level of input do you have as you go forward with this?
We have the same level of input that any other public citizen does. You know, I've been tracking the early site permitting process through the NRC. I've been attending the meetings with Entergy and Exelon and Dominion. And each of them have acknowledged that the numbers just don't add up for new build right now. That, you know, the economics are not in their favor. If they were, what you would have here, you'd have the nuclear industry coming in saying, listen, we can produce electricity at an affordable rate. They can't. What they're saying is they can solve global warming. I don't buy that either. You know, the nuclear power, you know, 10 years ago was saying they could solve the oil crisis. Well, now gasoline is $2 a gallon. Do you think it worked? The sheer cost of nuclear power alone drives it out as a solution. The amount of time it would take to construct reactors, the amount of cost it would take, you're much better off putting your money into energy efficiency and renewable technologies that actually have the impact necessary to have an impact on global warming. 7 times more effective, a dollar spent on energy efficiency and renewables, as is a dollar spent on nuclear power, because nuclear power is just too darn expensive. The first 75 reactors in this country had cost overruns of $100 billion, and that doesn't even include the last 25 reactors that came online that were ridiculously expensive. The last reactor in this country cost $8 billion. That's not energy too cheap to meter. And they're not going to say they want to build a reactor, because if they do, Wall Street will basically, you know, damage their stock price. Nuclear power is not viewed by Wall Street as being a viable option for the future. And if you come in and say you're going to build a nuclear power plant, it's going to do damage to your stock price. You know, that's why you don't see these guys saying we're going to build. They're saying, well, we might build. So what are we here for? We're here because the nuclear industry wants to pretend that it's not dead as a doornail. And in fact, it is, and it should be.
People began to file into the Louisa Middle School auditorium for the meeting. Before I entered the room, I spoke with a member of Dominion Power's External Affairs Office.
I'm Emmett Toms, and I work for Dominion.
And how come you're here tonight?
Just to get the impact of the crowd. We are here to hear citizens' input and maybe help answer any questions that folks have tonight. So,
how is the dialogue? Has there been any sense of dialogue between those who might be opposed and those who are in favor? Obviously, Dominion would like to see approval at some point.
It was a very good crowd here earlier for the open house that was held earlier today, and then this is the second meeting we've had here, so there's been good dialogue, and this helps educate the public and let them better understand what the process is. So I think it's been very well received this evening.
Okay. And that open house, I came here earlier, and I see that you have a large crowd of Dominion employees here tonight. Is that something that a company does on a regular basis?
Yes, we try to get here and try to answer folks' questions. So the more of us that can be accessible to answer questions, the more we hope to educate, you know, anybody who may have a question. So we did bring out a good-sized group tonight.
Okay. I'm not sure if you're the person to address this question to, but some of the folks who are on the other side are concerned about the idea that there's no plans at this moment to necessarily build the plant at this time. This is just a draft review. Can I get Dominion's response to that, or does Dominion have plans to build those two reactors at some point?
Well, this is a NRC process, so this is a process we have to go through to get approval for the next step. So we will need energy production and generation in the future. We're just looking at all of our alternatives. So today we don't have approval to do that, but we're looking at what the opportunities are to get a license. So that's what our process is about.
Okay. And what percentage of Dominion's current power generation comes from nuclear?
We're about 35%, okay, so 40% nuclear now.
And this is going to be a very strange question, but is nuclear power safe?
Nuclear power has been proven to be safe. It's regulated by our government, NRC regulations, and we have numerous plants throughout the U.S. that are you know, operated safely and operated to standards. And those standards are, reviewed, as you see tonight, they continue to be reviewed and upgraded. So we're trying to make nuclear safe as any other power supply that's producing electricity for our consumers.
And it's also very expensive to build a nuclear power facility, to build a new reactor. Is it the most economical, or again, are you looking at all your options?
Well, you have to consider everything. There's a lot of capital cost to it, but when you look at the operations and energy production, it is the cheapest form out there today we have of compared to fossil fuel and those kind of other facilities that we have. And so it is an environmentally friendlier, and, you know, depending on all you're looking at, it can be a lot economical. A lot more economical for production.
Okay. And just a final question on that, in terms of one of the other concerns that groups opposed to these two reactors, they're mentioning terrorism a lot. What steps has Dominion taken to allay some of those concerns?
From a security and safety standpoint, I'm not going to give you information on that, but we have looked at, the NRC has standards, and we've all plants in the U.S. have been, you know, reviewed our security plan since 9/11, so there are things that we take into account, and if you get an opportunity to tour the plant, you'll see some of those as you come to it, but we do have the plant guarded, you can't get in, so from that standpoint, that's, you know, pretty much a proprietary security information. Well, I don't want to go any further in it than
that's
that.
That's okay. But I mean, I'm just wondering, steps have been taken that since that time, that of course you wouldn't want to tell anybody,
right.
but you know, you'd want to know that people would want to know.
Certainly, and as not only in our business, but airport, as you know, from public, you know, airline security or whatever, we've all taken steps to look at how to make sure we're doing the best to keep our plant secure. So it is continued to be evaluated. Part of this process will be the security review. So that is a component of the license.
And I'm not quite sure where polls are on Americans' opinions on power, on nuclear power, but if your customers didn't want nuclear power, would you listen to them?
Sure, we have to do what's feasibly justifiable to the public, and we have to look at the good for everybody. We all live in the community. We have to produce the energy that we need for the new homes. If you're right in here tonight, you see new construction going on. Those folks have to be supplied, and we have to do it and all live in the same environmental community. So we all want our kids to come along and have an opportunity to share the air. So that's something that we're all concerned about. But we have to evaluate all the pros and cons of that, and that's part of this process.
I'm asking everyone to follow a three-minute rule, a guideline in terms of their presentation, and I know that is short, but...
At last, the meeting gets underway, and the auditorium at Louisa County Middle School is filled mostly with opponents of nuclear power. Though several Dominion Power workers were peppered throughout the crowd, many of them wearing the radiation detectors as a sign of their support for their industry. But the hearing mostly gave the chance for people to come forward with their concerns and to get a response from the technocrats who make the decisions. This question and answer exchange with UVA nuclear physics professor Donald Day goes on for about 4 minutes, but listen to the exchange for the kind of details that occur at these meetings.
You said that there have been no studies that would indicate that 10,000 milligram would induce cancers in the population. And according to the linear no-threshold theory, that's simply not true. And furthermore, your comments about the effluence of radioactivity around a nuclear power plant and comparing that to what is normal terrestrial or environmental radiation does not take into consideration the particular chemical characteristics of the effluents from nuclear power plants and their tendency to localize themselves in body organs. So I think it's misleading to sort of dismiss normal operations around a nuclear power plant as a consequence to the public. And I also think it's a mistake, or just an error on your part, to suggest that 10,000 millirem distributed to the population would not induce any cancers. At the nuclear accelerator where I work, I carry a badge with me all the time. And through my 20 years of experience, the doses that I'm allowed to get at these accelerators keeps declining. And from the beginning of U.S. regulations, there never has been a reversal of the amount of radiation that somebody is being allowed to get in normal work. It keeps declining, and as our education increases, we may find that it has to occupational doses have to be reduced once again.
Hi, my name is Rich Imsch. I'm a health physicist with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. You mentioned several things, sir. I'm going to try to cover them all, but if I miss any, please let me know. We're not really here to debate you tonight. We're really here to hear what you have to say, but I'll try to give some information. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission believes in the linear non-threshold theory. What Marianne was talking about, however, is that there have been thousands, literally thousands of studies done by credible studies, and that there has been no identified damage to humans below 10,000 millirem. Now there are reports by ICRP and CRP and others where they talk about the potential for radiation to cause cancer, just like there's a lot of other things in life that can cause cancer. And in fact, in the report that we put out, there's a discussion of what the potential risks in terms of fatal cancers, birth defects and things like that. There's a discussion of that in there that uses the internationally known estimators for that. And basically the concept is that while there's been no reported damage below 10,000 millirem, there is a belief that there is there's the potential for some damage to be associated with any amount of radiation exposure. Okay. Now we do evaluate not only whole body exposure, we evaluate dose to the organs as well. You'll find all that discussed in the report as well. As far as a comparison to natural background, we're using it to give you a general idea. You know, is this thing bigger than a bread box, smaller than a house, that sort of thing? And we believe that it is quite small compared to the kinds of exposures that we all get from living on the Earth. For example, not all of that 300 is from whole body exposure. Some of it is from radionuclides that are in your body and mine. Some of it is from radon that all of us inhale to some degree by living on this Earth. That's the kind of thing we're talking about, sir.
Other residents got to ask about how much heat the new reactors would generate and how that might affect Lake Anna. But this woman asked whether the new reactors are needed in the first place.
My name is Heather Peck from Albemarle County. Now, am I correct in understanding that there was no discernment at all done that the NRC required or that Dominion provided, A, for a need for power, and B, for alternative energy sources to this project, this proposal?
That's correct. At this stage, what we're looking at is, would the site be suitable? We're not determining whether they can actually build it. So at this stage, they're not required to address whether they need the power and whether or not there are other better alternative energy sources. However, if they decide they do want to build the plant and they request a license to do so from us, at that time they have to provide that information and we will evaluate it.
Well, as a taxpayer and respecting very highly the expertise that you've invested in this process up to now, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm a low-income and middle-income taxpayer who's actually paying her taxes. Now, I'm concerned about a priori never establishing A, a need for power, or B, alternative energy sources. This is really a deep concern and a common sense problem. And you know, we're looking at the situation and the budget in Washington, and this doesn't make much sense to me as a taxpayer.
Thank you.
But opponents of nuclear power weren't the only ones who got to make public comments before the NRC. Dominion Vice President Jim Graychuk makes the case for why nuclear is still an option by playing down natural gas, a clean-burning fuel that many laud as a replacement for coal and nuclear.
Gas are actually leaving the country. In the southern part of the United States, they're closing plants and they're all moving to Mexico because they're not able to afford the natural gas price variations that are occurring. Now, where is this natural gas coming from? Most of it in the future will be imported into the United States in the form of liquefied natural gas from various parts of the world, which are the same parts of the world that right now we are concerned about the stability of our petroleum supply. So as we look toward the future, we say, you know, everything that we've been adding over the last 5 or 6 years has been natural gas. Is that really the right thing to do? Also, this week, many of you, I'm sure, have heard on the news that the Kyoto Protocol was put into effect around the world. The United States is not participating in that. The Kyoto Protocol limits the amount of carbon dioxide that can be put into the atmosphere because of concerns of the impact of carbon dioxide on global temperatures. Again, the U.S. is not participating. If the United States does choose inadequately, we appreciate the NRC's detailed review, and I appreciate your comments tonight, and we'll be listening carefully to listen to what your concerns are. Thank you.
The public hearing lasted for over 3 hours, but I was not able to stay for the entire event. I was also not able to record all of it, for there was no Mult box available for me to plug into the auditorium's public address system. But I presented to you what I heard and who I spoke with. Portions of the interviews were edited for time and for what I'd like to call narrative flow. But some of you might disagree with that. Please let me know. This recording is an experiment to see if there's a way of reporting what really happens at these kinds of meetings as a way of getting to the debates that are underneath. If any of you have gotten this far, I thank you very much for listening and hope you'll post a comment on the website where you found this report. You can expect to hear more of these long-form experiments in the weeks and months to come. I'm particularly interested in knowing how decisions are being made in our democracy and what room there might be for dialogue between groups that seem to be on different sides of an uncrossable chasm. For instance, what common ground can be found in the nuclear power debate? Do we need nuclear power? Are things going too fast, or are they going at the right speed to make sure that everybody's opinions are weighed in making a final decision? These are some of the issues that I'm sure we'll come back to as the NRC decides what to do about the two new proposed reactors at North Anna Power Station. This is Sean Tubbs reporting from a public hearing. Thanks for listening.